Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, we'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.
Find inspiration in timeless stories of sacrifice and resilience. Find inspiration in little victories and Herculean tasks, in facing trying times together and overcoming the odds as one. The National World War II Museum in New Orleans is now open, so you can find inspiration in all of these places, and especially within yourself. Visit nationalww2museum.org for timed tickets and safety information.
And we are live on Michael Angley Live. And you know what? Things are getting weirder every freaking day. And as things get weirder, where do you find yourself? Where do you find yourself in the circle, man? You know, Native Americans talk about the circle. You got to find yourself in the circle. You know, Taoists and all that, Chinese philosophy. You got to find yourself in the circle, man. So, where do you guys find yourself in the circle? I really want to know. As for me, this coffee right here is part of my circle, man. You know, I chant to Almighty Pod. Almighty Pod Bean on. Coffee Bean. Almighty Pod Coffee Bean on. And then the world starts tilting back to where it should be, for me anyway. But then I look at the world, I look at stuff out there, I look at the people out there. I wonder what everybody's doing. Like, why are these people really listening to the powers that be, when these powers that be don't really have an idea of what they're saying, doing, or anything at any given time? They're chasing the dollar. The agendas put out there by their handlers, and they're chasing the dollar, and these people run after it. It's much like the looters, man, right? And the looters, and I have a solution for the looters. You want to stay tuned for my solution for these looters. So Chicago, been battling every day. Looters going out. They know they can get free stuff. They're in large groups of people, banging on windows, going in. Oh, no, we're just feeding ourselves because we are hungry and we need food and we are denied. You know what? There's more free food in this country for people I don't even know. Maybe in some areas more challenged in other areas, you know, or people don't have the aptitude or the drive to get off their ass and go to a food pantry and get food. You know, whatever, man. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of variables, okay? The one thing I'm going to say is that when you break into a store and you're stealing TV sets and all these other things and clothes and whatever, your argument for I'm hungry goes out the window, you know. And then this, no, we're going to sell these TVs so we can have money to pay for food and things we need. You know, come on, man. We have gotten to a point in our country where there are people out there that believe anything. Like, they believe anything. But it's just like suckers. It's almost embarrassing if you're a human being to look at other human beings and say, how could you actually possibly even remotely be like this? Because it doesn't make any sense in the world of dollars and cents to have a store in a crap neighborhood that people keep looting. And then, you know, you just can't replace your stock. You're broke. You got no money. A lot of these stores are not, you know, part of the big chains that they can breathe money in from other sources. These mom-and-pop stores are exactly that. You know, these are small businesses that maybe have a little bit of a safety blanket. Maybe not. I'm watching a lot of interviews of people that have gone out, completely gone out of business because they got hit by the virus and they got hit by the looting. Number one, number two, you know what? That's the knockout punch. And then people like, not even like animals. I wouldn't call them animals because I love animals. You know what I mean? And animals seldom, they don't act beyond their nature. These are human beings that are capable of anything. They're capable of doing anything to you, taking anything from you, and depriving you of things like your life and your liberty and your happiness and everything under the sun because they can. There's no mayor of Chicago who's saying, we need to put a stop to this now. Oh, let's raise the bridges and contain the looters. Let's herd the looters like a bunch of sheep, you know, angry sheep out of control, looting stuff. They're breaking the stores. So, okay, you're going to have your argument. Oh, man, you know, they're just feeding themselves and their family, going, steal a loaf of bread to live another day. Yeah. No, that's not the way it's going. It's steal. One guy said, this is our reparations. This is their whatever. They're going to try to get paid back for something they think they need to be paid back for. You know, they black people. Right. And they're not the only ones who have suffered in this country or this world. You know, it is an imperfect world, if you haven't noticed. So when you expect systems or people to be perfect, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But in this case, we're going to talk about the Ronald McDonald House in Chicago, right? A place where sick kids go and await operations. You know, basically, you know, they put families up, you know, and they take care of sick kids, right? So there was hundreds of them in this building that these looters turned their viciousness onto, smashing the front doors, trying to get in. Here are these people inside, terrified, terrorized. They didn't know whether they're going to be killed or raped or what, because this is what goes on with these groups. Yeah. You know, the media, the mainstream media, they don't want to report the rapes that go on. They don't want to report all this heavy violence. Only the little, you hear a blurb about this, a blurb about that, and you're more likely to see that on a Fox than in your mainstream, you know, whatever you want to call them anyway. I don't know what they are. Media, I guess you can say media. It's like a dirty word now. You know, they're not the news. They gave up on that a long time ago as they started making stuff up along the way. But fine, you're going to smash the Ronald McDonald House? You're going to terrorize those kids and those families? Those kids have enough goddamn problems. They don't need any more. They don't need a pack of losers, you know, these vicious freaks who are trying to break in to go into a frenzy to do what they will. So we're police. Oh, it's Chicago, the new mayor of Chicago. She can't handle all this stuff. And she said they're just blowing off steam. They're just blowing off steam. People getting shot, people shooting at police officers. Police officers have to shoot back at them or whatever, man. You know, and then what? Cops save lives. Do these thugs save lives? No. You know, so whatever, man. Ronald McDonald House. So here's my solution to the police officers and the good citizens of Chicago who really need to arm themselves and protect themselves against these low-life looters. When they come smashing your windows in, when they come to deprive you of your happiness, your liberty, and your life, you shoot them, and you shoot them, and you shoot them until they can't move anymore. And then the police need to grow a pair. And then don't listen to your mayor, because she is acting beyond the scope of her office. She is not allowed to instruct the police force to stand down, because those cops took an oath of office to uphold that office for the citizens, to protect the citizens, not to listen to some politician. Same for New York. Oh, same for all these Democrat cities we've seen across the country. Seattle? Really? And their citizens are going to sit there and say, oh, my God, I'm under siege. You are under siege. It's like those hokey movies you see in the middle of the night, man. You know, like these crazy, wild scenarios of society turning to poop. And then here are people, like, just stuck in a building. And they're cut off from the whole world. And they're, like, trying to call 911. They've got a busy signal. And this is what's going on. People try to call 911 to get a busy signal. Or they get a message, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you're screwed. All those taxes you paid, you're an idiot. You get no protection, nothing. Bye. Call us if you survive. Have a nice day. Isn't that what they always say? Have a nice day, right? Really. And then when you arm yourself heavily and you start breaking them out, you know, and you start laying them down, these criminals were what deserved. Then, no, the libs come. You're a terrorist. You're terrible. You're evil. You're whatever you are, they'll make something up for you. If you're white, they'll call you a white supremacist. If you're some other color, they'll make something else up. Whatever they can vent the hostility at, right? They do too, man. You know, I'm a huge heckler, you know, troll, or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't really matter. It's the name that cannot be named is what I am. And then when I'm out there doing my thing, I like to engage people sometimes when I see them really being narrow-minded, you know. And then I approach it not from a world of hostility like most of they, but I approach it from a world of ponderage and questionage, man. Una pregunta, you know? Yeah. I ask a question. And then, I don't know, one of my friends put something out about Joe Biden. He picked Kamala Harris. Well, Joe Biden was actually surprised when he learned that he chose Kamala Harris as vice president. Very surprised. He said, who? Then they had to remind him, you know, the one that kicked you in the nuts several times on stage, you know, when you guys were debating, and she called you an old Klansman, basically. You know, now she wants to work for that old Klansman. I guess the busing thing was bad for a minute, but I guess she could forgive all if she thinks that he's going to kick the bucket at some point, slip on something and bang his head and he's gone. And then she'll be president. Do you think Kamala Harris really has the moxie, the ability, the executiveness to be president of the United States of America? You know, she had prosecutorial skills. She put a lot of people in jail. That's what the Democrats are mad at. If you want to give me a selling point, tell me that she was a prosecutor and she actually did her job. You know, when the hell do you see that anymore, man? All these guys politically grandstand and they want to let criminals go. Let them go instead of putting them away where they belong. So good. Fine. That's fine. She's pretty hot, I think. I fear infuriate my little Republican buddies. Yeah. What do you think of that, Kamala Harris? And I'm like, she's pretty hot. Because that's me. I'm simple. Simple outlook. It doesn't matter about politics. It doesn't matter about politicians. It doesn't matter what I think, what kind of people they are, whatever. Because they're all part of the same goddamn problem, you know? And it doesn't matter. So then the only thing I can get from it is some kind of obscure, I don't know, opinion. You want my obscure opinion? She's hot. Kind of hot. She's all right. She's not hot. She's Democratic politician hot. Because look at the goddamn crew you gotta choose from, you know. And I'm making that as a statement, you know? and a gesture. If you want to get tactical. So the statement and a gesture. Yeah. But whatever, man. Joe Biden doesn't know where the hell he is. Kamala Harris, she knows where she is. She knows what she wants. Trump, I don't know where he is. Pence, he's going to have to debate Kamala Harris. That's going to be interesting, man, because Pence is so stiff. That guy is so stiff. I'm surprised he could even walk without breaking his arm off or something, man. He's like this solidly starchy stiff. So, good. I'm interested in seeing the chit show as it cruises on down to November. I don't even think we're going to make November. I don't even think we're going to make it. I think these guys have just, they've all settled into their hate and their posturing, and it's so disgusting. For someone like me, I'll tell you about me. Somebody asked me one time, a couple times, you know, what side are you on? You know, because I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican, right? I'm a registered Republican, but that doesn't mean anything because I did it not for reasons of being a Republican, for completely different reasons as to where I am in the county, which I figured needed more Republicans. And then whatever, I vote my conscience and I vote who I think is best for the job. And I'm really tired in my life of voting for the lesser of evils, you know, and I think a lot of people feel that way. So as we in our society see this clown show unravel, and listen to all the things that people say. We know that Democrats, liberals, they don't hold people to the same line that others do, like that they do. So they're going to look at you as Republicans, but you're this, this, and this. And, but then they got people in their own party who are freaking pedophiles, you know, who are supporting politicians with money from being pedophile pimps and all this flow of stuff and all these lies and deceit. And then you sit back and you look at it all and you know that you can't trust a word out of any of these people's mouths. Not one of them. I feel like that old guy from the hearing aid commercial. You ever see that dude who can't freaking hear his son? You know, he's like, I love you, Dad. He's like, what? I love you, Dad. What? God damn it. Fat bastard. Forget it. Non-hearing bastard. What? And he puts the hearing aid in and he hears all kinds of shit. He hears his neighbors talking three houses down about his... I'm picking up people down the block. You know, there's a crack deal going on in the corner. When our neighborhood turns so terrible, oh my God, I can't believe my ears. How do you shut these things off? I love you, Dad. You faggot. Shut up. Shit, you know, I didn't raise you to be like that. All right, shut those things off. And then the guy's like on the commercial, you know, so they're using him like this dude now. You know, they're the company spokesman because. He's like old and incensed at the price of these things, you know, these hearing aids. He's like, you'll see these hearing aids for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, whatever they can get, you know. And he's like, these are only $700. Oh, boy. You know, maybe you don't want to hear that stuff. You know what I mean? You wanted better glasses? Maybe you don't want to see people so good. Let me tell you, you're in a relationship and you're both aging. Probably better not to have glasses. You both keep looking goddamn good. You look like the day I met you. You know, we were young. Yeah. Just don't put the glasses on. You know, put the glasses on. You're like, who are you? Who are you? What are you touching my hearing aids for? I love you. Ah! Call 911. Some stranger in my house fondling my hearing aids and telling me they love me. We've been married for 47 years. How dare you? You know, my wife, she's young and beautiful. That's where I'm at. Freaking watching commercials and complaining about them. That's where I'm at. You want to know where I'm at? People who want to find themselves in 2020, the year of the goddamn rat. Yeah. I think that proved it's true. That proved its way every year of the rat. Every 12 years, man, you have a year of the rat. And it is terrible every time. So good. Good for that, too. You know, you just have to be able to find out, niche out your little area, your cubbyhole, and be happy in it, you know. And man, if you think the virus is going away, it ain't going away. You know, it's changing, morphing, moving around. It's getting around people. It's being passed back and forth. There's a lot of some knowledge about it. There's a lot of no knowledge. You know, you think that these experts are beyond it. They still don't know very much. And if you listen to the political doctors, they don't know anything at all. And, you know, it's no surprise. They actually meet my expectations, which is pretty sad to say. You know, had to review a hotel room recently. And the staff was fantastic, you know, as much as they could be. I mean, like, you know, for what the place was, basically a clean, cheap hotel. But the stuff that went on there was, like, ridiculous. And then, you know, a lot's tolerated in Ithaca, New York, because that's where the hotel was. And then you see, like, what these druggies running around, and they're trying to have needle programs, and, they, you know, there's just so much that they're fostering, which is an incubator for crime. All the residual effects from this heroin and all the other stuff and the pills they're passing out. They give out pills to people free of charge on welfare money. These guys go on the street and they sell those pills. You know, it's just that's what's going on. So in this area with motels, you have all this crime. People are breaking into cars. People are accosting people in the parking lot, whatever. You know what I mean? So I actually said, you know, it asks you, did this hotel meet your expectations? I was like, sadly, yes. You know, I knew what I was going to get. I got attacked by a crackhead, man. Freaking crackhead. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's amazing how people will go totally off the wall. Like I'm hearing a dude play bongos at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's a hotel room, you know. someone like bong, 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 what's going on? And then I call the office, like, someone's playing bongos down here. This girl's like, yeah, this guy in room whatever. And, you know, he scares us. I'm like, that's great. You know, in a place where you got a dude who scares you. And then, so I got in the hallway, and then I'm trying to locate this bongo dude so I could tell him to shut the fuck up, you know, because I don't care. It's a different world with me. And then, so the girl from the hotel comes down the hallway, and she's like, can you stand behind me? Because this guy scares me, you know? I'm like, yeah, fine. And then the dude comes out, and he's like, and I'm 6'5", so I'm a big dude. And this guy's kind of maybe 6 foot or something like that. So a bit shorter than me, whatever. Skinny dude. I'm not. And this guy comes out. He's nice for like 3 seconds to the girl. And then he sees me standing there, and he's like, rah! His face turns like it's like zombie rage, rabid dog. Rah! And I don't usually get that ever because I'm a big freaking scary dude anyway. People don't mess with people like me. You know, it's not in your best interests to pick on somebody who's bigger than you. You know what I mean? It's your best interest to not do that. You know? So whatever, man. And this guy like runs at me, and I had to actually put my arm up to block him from putting his body against my body. He was pressed against my arm, you know. And I was in control the entire time. I didn't really feel like I was in danger necessarily. The girl wigs out. She runs to the office, you know, which is way down the hall, right? And the guy's got some crackhead friend there in the hallway. And the guy's like, I'm sorry. Don't blame me because, you know, he's not usually like this. I'm like, oh, great. So I just get to see what he is. How lucky. So, and I said to the dude, I'm like, calm down. Take it down a few notches, dude. You don't want this. Take it down. And I was watching him, looking down at his hands, make sure he didn't have anything in his hands. He didn't put his hands on. He just pressed his body. It was like, rawr, rawr, rawr. I don't even know what the hell he was saying. Some freaking nutty crap about me being some cop or something. And then how, you know, whatever. I was like, listen, idiot. I'm not a cop. I'm just here. You know what I mean? Here, rent a room, you know, trying to keep things in perspective. And then the guy like grabbed his head. Like he was like, oh, you know, then he couldn't, then he locked himself out in the hallway. He couldn't get back into his room. So I just went back to my room. He's like, I was going back to my room. He's like, go back to your room. So the police come, Ithaca police, right? Given the manager a lot of crap. The manager wants the guy out, removed, in handcuffs, dragged out. He attacked one of her staff. He attacked one of her you know, people and whatever, man. One of the guests, me, right? So then 4 police officers come in and take 6 hours to try to talk to this guy and get him out. And then the cops are like, yo, we got to talk to you. It's a little tiny cop. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, why don't you go in there and put the handcuffs on him and bring him out? What's the problem? Hey, you don't have to tell us how to do our jobs. I'm like, well, I think I do. Since you're not doing it, you know, you want to be Mr. Negotiate. But see, now in Ithaca, the cops, you know, the liberals in Ithaca, New York, and I don't know. It's just number one liberal armpit in the world, I think, is Ithaca, New York. There was voted last year. You know, there was Berkeley, California, there's Ithaca. And they both kind of fight each other for who's going to be first. And Ithaca wins. So it's a place like that. And the police are afraid of themselves. They don't want to engage. They don't want to get into stuff. So this is the problem. And then you have a community that tolerates drugs. You have a sheriff in the county, Sheriff Osborne, Derek Osborne, who had just gotten in. And this guy is refusing to do his job. He is refusing to do his job and go after these druggies who are moving a lot of drugs. You know, every sale of these pills are a felony, you know. And then, you know, so guess who comes in if they're looking the other way on heroin? Heroin dealers. Yeah, drug dealers. Sure. So there's shootings all the time in Ithaca. There's shootings every day in Ithaca. There's stabbings. There's rapes. There's all kinds of stuff. There's unsolved murders. Well, yeah. That too, a little tiny, itty-bitty nowhere place in upstate New York, you know, over a town that's got 28,000 people. The county used to have 110,000 people. Now it has 102 because people are leaving in large numbers. They're leaving. And you have Cornell University. You know, I can't imagine any parents out there that would want to send their children to Cornell University, knowing the politics of this town, that if your kids falter or if they have some kind of little issue, they can just run down into Ithaca and they can go to one of these agencies that just dole out drugs. They dole it out. And I mean dole it out. You know, in some places, people can't even get painkillers. Around here, it's perfectly normal. And then they cater to those druggies. They commit crimes, whatever. They just keep bailing them out, looking the other way. You know, so it's like that. And because of that, a lot of people become victims because these are criminals. These aren't people who were misunderstood. These aren't people who, took the wrong turn for a minute. No, these are lifelong sociopathic criminals, you know. And then this harm reduction of we got to save the heroin addicts. Well, do you? I mean, when people get hooked on something, yeah. If they want the help is there. If they don't want the help, you can't mandate it. You can't get them any help. So then you're spinning your wheels and you want to just kind of give them drugs and keep giving them drugs and give them drugs and make sure that they don't overdose. So you're sustaining their lives, but they're still junked out on drugs and they're not going to function. They're not going to work. They're not going to have any kind of decent life, a family, and nothing. They're just going to take up taxpayers' dough and be useless members of society, you know? And then you have this sheriff who says if you do heroin or sell heroin or any of that, it's a lifestyle choice. He actually said that, you know? And then it's just been a long road of just degeneration in this county. And now people are leaving New York State in drones. You know why? Because it's terrible. And then, you know, a good portion of the wealthy people have already left New York State. Andrew Cuomo, the governor, the pathetic governor, he is saying, oh, come on back, I'll buy you a drink. Really? What a slap in the face to all the people that had to leave their home because the state's been mismanaged and run into the ground for years. So there's no solution. The only solution is save yourself. Save yourself. Sink and ship, save yourself. And what's going to be left? Let me tell you, in Manhattan right now, New York City, you have retail businesses that are chain businesses leaving. That's the only money that they have. They're leaving town. And then what? What do you have after that? Once the people leave and the businesses leave, the mom-and-pop businesses have closed from the virus and from the riots, people getting shot all the time in the city, a lot of crime, the cab drivers don't feel safe. Cab drivers actually want a special number to call, you know, especially not just 911 because they can't get through most of the time. Isn't that nice? The special number. In a city where they tell you that it's illegal for you to have a gun unless you jump through all kinds of fire hoops to get some kind of permit. They don't want you to have that gun. They don't want you to defend yourself, you know. So that's these, and I'll say it, liberal cities. And I'm not saying this as some conservative. I'm saying it as because that's where it's going. That's what it is. That's the politics. That's the mentality. They embrace these criminals for some reason. There's no rational thought behind that. You know, helping people, saving people who are not criminals, people who are the victims or would-be victims, crime prevention, that's where it's supposed to be. And you don't have to take people's rights away to do that. But you know what? You're actually enforcing other people's rights of a free life and a happy life by protecting them. And that's what the police is supposed to do. When you have a sheriff in a county that refuses to do his job and he's in there solely because of politics, you know, and this is not a reflection on his deputies because there are some amazing deputies in this county. I'm talking about the sheriff. And this guy is just not the one who's going to protect these people. He's responsible for every life in this county. That's a huge responsibility, you know. And then he did a total flagrant disregard of the law, of statutes that are on the books and looking the other way and not investigating like he should. So whatever, man. It's going to go down, down, down till people leave. And the ones who can leave are leaving. The ones who can't leave are stuck. And then that's what's going to be left. Cuomo already announced he's going to raise taxes. So he wants people to come back, the people that have left, Ooh, but I'm going to raise taxes on everybody else. When you come back, we're going to raise taxes. Yeah, because it's so great to live in New York State, right? It's, you get such a benefit from living in New York State. And now you can't even go into the city without risking your life, you know? You know, in the 70s, the city was really bad when I was a really young child. And I remember seeing the news and all the reports of you know, how terrible things are down there. And then you're like, wow, man, you know, it's a bad place. It's something to avoid. Things got better over the years, a little cleaner, a little better, you know? And then, man, now it's like worse than it was back then. And then you have this de Blasio, this Mayor de Blasio. He's completely out of his mind. He declared himself the world's greatest mayor, you know, or nation, the nation's greatest mayor, right? It's de Blasio. And he's turned his back on NYPD. They, you know, they're defunded a large portion of the police department. So those cab drivers, you know, the livery guys who want their special number, you know what your special number is? 357 Magnum. That's your special number. And when someone gets in and they try to rob you, you got to defend yourself. If you want to see your family again, you want to go home, you defend yourself, right? So it really is a terrible, terrible situation. And, you know, when the politics that be, when Barack Obama had gotten in, I was on the air and I made a statement saying, this is going to be responsible for the stuff he's doing, is going to be responsible for a knee-jerk reaction to the other side. You know, it's going to go from all the way liberal to all the way conservative. And then after that, it's going to go jerk back to all the way liberal with no middle-of-the-road common sense involved. Just people pushing their agenda, people constantly pushing their agenda. So I think that it's not going to get any better. And then this election year, oh my God, you already have a war with mail-in ballots, with the post office, with, you know, he said, she said, this one, that one. You know, Trump is kind of in the background at this point because of all the focus on the Democrats, which is important because when he does debate Joe Biden, if that ever happens, people are going to see Biden for the mumbling, stuttering, befuddled Mr. Magoo that he is. You can't have that as president. And I know all the people that hate Trump so much and they want Trump out. It's not likely that those people are going to vote like that for Biden and Harris. Especially Harris, you know. Biden put his foot in it. I'm going to nominate a black woman as vice president. Black woman. That's sexist and racist, isn't it? Saying that I'm looking for a black woman. Sounds like he's at a brothel. Oh, I want a black woman. You know what I mean? I want something. Someone to sniff. I like to sniff them. Touch them a little bit. Come on, man, you sick old bastard. A black woman. And that was totally acceptable. How come they don't have a black woman as their presidential candidate? How come they pulled the old rich white man? What happened to that? You know, Biden thinks he's black. He ain't black. You think he's like a baked Alaska? He's got some white cream on the outside and some chocolate cake on the inside? No. No, no, no. And don't forget about his crackhead son taking all that money from that Ukrainian company, not including that Hungarian company, the real estate company. This guy bagged up millions of dollars. He got kicked out of the Navy because of his cocaine usage. And he, a few days later, he's an oil baron. Really? Because his father was vice president, huh? So, yeah, that's Joe Biden. That's his son. And Kamala Harris has a lot of luggage that people are going to be sorting through. And you know Trump. You know Pence. There's no guessing there of what they're all about. You know that the Democrats, of what they've done and tried to say, the Russian collusion and all that other stuff, and the Mueller report and all that other stuff. And I mean, every which way you have a situation where, you know, Stormy Daniels or whatever. They had to have something always, you know, and now they got this virus. And, you know, when they say that, you know, it's Trump's fault, the economy is so bad because it's his fault. Number one, they should be looking at the stock market, which is doing great. And then number two, they should look at the fact that people lost millions of jobs because of closing things down. Is the Democrats bitched that things weren't closed soon enough and that they weren't closed long enough. At the same time, they're saying it's Trump's fault that the economy went to the toilet because things were closed. That doesn't make any sense. And anybody with any kind of common sense is going to listen to that rhetoric and be like, this is ridiculous. How could they possibly say that? You know, so they're just unrealistic. And do you actually think that if Hillary Clinton was in office right now, that the economy would have been so strong to begin with that when we got hit with this virus, it didn't completely destroy the country, which was intended? The Chinese intended this. If you think that's not true, you don't know China. If you want to sit back and you know, be in your little puppy kitten world and believe that there's no evil, let me tell you, China banned internal travel. Let's just do the numbers in the time. They banned internal travel. No train, no airplane, nothing because of the virus. Then the government bought 1.4 million airplane tickets for people or gave them to people, Chinese people, that they believed were sick, from what I understand, from the reports from China itself, and they sent them all over the world. They sent 700,000 of them here when we should have had that border closed at that time. They wanted to. Who stood in the way? Oh, Nancy Pelosi, I'm going to go to Chinatown and meet with people and pray with them and say, we don't need to close things. We don't need to close the borders. We don't need to close the airports. Wow. And then they criticize Trump on not closing things fast enough. Jeez. So basically, they're people that you can't make happy not at any given time. Don't even try. Don't even try to make these people happy, because it ain't going to happen, man. And then as the world muddles along, hey, you know, if they're speaking to their base and people are that nuts, you can have it. You can have it. I don't want to be around such people, you know. And like, I can see the writings on the wall. It's going to be a long time before things are really up and running again. This virus is, it's like a snake, right? Twisty, turny, moving around, you know, serpentine. And these guys have been trying to play catch up all along with this snake. They just can't catch it. And then, unfortunately, it's a political year. It's a year where there's an election. Unfortunately, it's a huge election because they're trying to get Trump out and trying to put in their lame people so they can take over again and have their agenda so they can line their pockets like all these people do to begin with. That's all it's all about. You know, the people sitting there waiting for their money, that $600 a week that ran out and was paying for their rent, paying for their food, paying for them to live, you know? And it's not a handout because it's a country that you paid in for your whole life, you know, as long as you've been here. I mean, you know, let's face it. You're from the United States of America. You're paying. You know what I mean? So those people are out of work. Oh, no, the money ran out. Who let the money run out? The Democrats. Who came out with a presidential order to keep the money flowing was Trump. Because he said people need it. They have to have it now. We can't argue about this. We can't wait for Congress. Congress isn't even coming back from their vacation until later on this month. They're on vacation while people are suffering. They're out there in their mansions posting pictures of themselves. Look at me at home. Oh, it sucks being home. Sucks being home in my 9,000 square foot mansion. Really? What about the 250 square foot apartment guy who's muddling through with no money, you know? And then the eviction order ended. So all the stuff the Democrats said that they protect you from ended. And not one of them tried to keep it going. Only Nancy Pelosi, well, we want to continue the program, but we need money for the Kennedy Center. We need millions of dollars for this organization, that organization. We got to support this other country. We got to do it. They want to give money to everybody. We need the illegal aliens. We need to have them come in and have them become part of our country. Oh, the dreamers. So they want to, from you losing your job, trying to support your family, these Democrats want to throw all of this extra pork onto the pile and say, you're not going to get yours unless we get ours for our special interests. That's who you elect. The people that would be happy to watch you sweat it out and starve and get kicked out into the street Oh, your landlord kicks you out of the street. You got no money. You got no food. Oh, you call Nancy Pelosi and ask her for help. Really? What about Prince? What about the cuckold prince and his princess? You know, Prince Harry, right? They just moved to California, bought a $14 million mansion. Oh, they love the poor. They support the poor. They try to help the poor. They're out there for the poor. Are they inviting the poor to come live in their $14.7 million mansion? How about Nancy Pelosi? She's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, literally hundreds, just her by herself, not even including her husband, all made from politics, all made from her political connections. She owns three mansions plus a huge beach spread. Oh, what about her? How many illegal aliens is she allowing to live in her homes? How is she putting anybody up? Any families from Syria? How about any Taliban types? Anybody? Anybody? No, because they can't. They don't. They won't. Just what they are. Where does their money come from? Oh, Hollywood pedophiles. Oh, really? Not all of them, but a good portion of them. Now we're hearing about all kinds of stories, man. You know, from this Ghislaine Maxwell and the whole bit. It's the game. And they're going to milk this cow to anorexia for the election. And this is, you know what, man? Things are so stagnant. This is August. We're in the middle of August, basically. And we're creeping towards this November. And it's just getting uglier, bloodier, nastier. The riots, the stuff, the looting, the hate, the destruction. Then what's going to happen? Who puts a stop to it then? The citizens have to arm themselves, you know, which many are. And they're going to put a stop to it when it comes to those neighborhoods. I know people already who had to cower in their homes on Long Island. And in the city, because of these looters and people busting their windows, they're up there on the fourth floor, people throwing rocks through their windows. You know, the same liberal types that were screaming, burn it down from their ivory tower, burn it down. And then they get a rock thrown at their face. Oh, well, why are you attacking me? I'm on your side. Sides again, like that talk about earlier, sides. What side are you on? I'm on my side. My side. I don't want to get hit by a rock. I don't want to get attacked for my skin color. I'm sad that there's racism in this country. If I had a magic wand, I'd wave it right now and solve all everybody's problems, everything, all at once. But I don't, and I can't. And it's humans that make humans suffer. But if you're going to focus on who's suffering and why, you got to focus on that wealth gap, you know, and you have to look at the class war. It's not about, you know, color. And that's what the class war people want you to believe and feel. So you fight other people, you know, that you could be fighting with instead of fighting against. So at the end of the day, you got to look out for yourself and your family, you know. And when somebody comes knocking, if they have evil intentions, you know, you do what you got to do. You'd rather be judged by a jury than sit there carried by six people and put into the ground. You know what I mean? Because there are people out there, believe it or not, that don't care about you. They don't care if you live or die. They don't care about your family. And those are the people that we elect. Imagine the others. The others. So you know what's important? It's important to know your neighbors. It's important to be friends with your neighbors in a way. You know what I mean? And you have an alliance in your neighborhood. You protect each other. You look out for each other. You know, you can rely on each other in that way. And that's great, because you can't rely on the police to come help you, because they may not be able to, or they may be so pussified that they can't, right? I see how the chief there in Seattle stood down, right? And then she told her, you know, she's the one who told people to stand down, because the mayor told her to tell the police to stand down. So they had that chop zone, where those people basically extorted money from the people that lived and worked there and had the businesses and stole what they wanted and the whole bit, right? In the chop zone. So, and then she came out all blood clot crying on TV. I had to do it. I'm sorry for the police officers and whatever. I love these people that are in charge. And then they act like they're not. That they were just told, given orders from somebody else. Sometimes you got to question orders. Sometimes if those orders don't go along with that constitution and with those people's rights in that zone, you know, then you need to disobey or not pay attention. I would have arrested that mayor. If I was that police chief, I would have arrested that mayor because she got people killed. She's an accomplice, you know? She's guilty of criminal negligence and also inciting those riots. Same thing for that idiot up in Minnesota. Same thing for New York City. That other idiot, de Blasio. Yeah, man. Those police chiefs have no balls. No balls. But yeah, okay, whatever, man. And I know the law. I know what you can do. I know what you can't do. I know the law. But great, whatever. They want to be able to support these heathens, right? And then, you know what? We're like with Biden and you know, it's going to be a lot like when Bush was in there with Cheney, right? Because Cheney's the one who called the shots. You know, Bush W, he knew nothing. He was just a blithering idiot still this day, whatever. He's that guy. And it was Cheney who was, you know, even movies at that time made fun of them. There was one movie in particular where there was like, it's like a disaster movie. His disaster was ensuing. And here's the president. And he looks at, you know, he's like a Bush looking guy. Then he looks at this dude, looks like Cheney. And he's like, I can't believe what's going on. What should we do? It's the president asking the vice president, what do you think we should do? All right, I got the answers. You sit down, boy. Wipe your chin. Let Grandpa take over. And Cheney was inherently evil. This is a guy who enjoyed being called the Darth Vader. You know, they called him Darth Vader. He liked it. He enjoyed it. He was happy about it, right? So we're in a world of anything can happen at any time. Then you have to connect that are happening, starting to happen, and there's some big ones coming, man. So how do you navigate that with the virus, with all the stupidity on top of it and the rioting and all the festering hate and anger? Where's the good? Where's the good? There's good out there. There's great out there, but that's not being showcased because the powers that be have more of an interest in showing you the bad, you know? And it's they're using you. They're using your emotions against you, you know? And that's something that you have to resent when you have media outlets that have so much power. But at the same time, they are going to use your emotions, the things that you feel. They're going to cherry pick information. They're going to lie to you and tell you all these lies or mistruths. You know, Hillary Clinton's mistruth that she said she doesn't lie. There are mistruths. Nice, right? But they want you to vote for them, so then you're still worth something, right? And even though if they tell you they're gonna put money in your pocket, or they're gonna, you know, fix your, you know, cure your acne, or solve your life, or fix your car, whatever, man, you know that you need to go somewhere and be happy and be away from all this rhetoric. And much of the time, it comes down to the governors of the state. If you live in a halfway decent red state or even a purple state, you're going to fare a lot better than a New York state where property taxes and other taxes, fees, everything are completely out of control. And when you can buy a house in another place that's thriving and live really well on just the money you're paying in taxes, and I mean just your tax money, and you can pay all of your bills, everything on that tax money that you're leaving New York state, you know, and you can have a great life somewhere. Why not do it? Unless you're tied down to a place, and now people aren't tied down. New York City, the most apartments ever for rent. People don't want them. They're leaving in drones. People are leaving. De Blasio doesn't care. He said, let them go. Cuomo's saying, come back, I'll buy you a drink. The rich people took off. They left. A lot of them went out west. A lot of them went to Florida. Some are going out to Iowa, places like that or whatever. I don't know. Places where there's no personal income tax, you know. And they're striving for a better life that the government has failed to give them because they take too much. And then you see these programs, you know, like victims of crime, right? Victims, let's say you're airlifted to the hospital. You're a victim of a crime. Somebody attacks you. You're an innocent victim. You're airlifted to the hospital. That hospital, that airline, that ride in the helicopter is going to cost from $30,000 to $50,000, not including hospital expenses, the 10 grand a day they want to charge you for intensive care, all the other stuff that people, when people victimize you. So these victims come out with, you know, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. There were all these funds in the state that helped victims. They're gone, or they've been depleted. Instead, the state takes that money and gives it to the heroin people, the harm reduction. What's more important, protecting victims or just keeping criminals alive long enough so they can victimize more people? Because that's all that I see that it's doing is that. And I can prove it, and I have lots of evidence that points to this New York state and other states like it that are running the state into the ground with their crazy policies. And the only thing that they're going to do is force people to leave. And the only thing, you know that movie Escape from New York, right, with Kurt Russell? Watch that movie. Because that's what New York's going to be. They're going to build a wall around it eventually. And all those looters and all those people and all those people out there that are committing all those crimes or whatever are going to be stuck in there. And then that's going to be their life, right? Escape from New York. There's also Escape from L.A. Both very awesome movies. And Kurt Russell's first wife was in Escape from New York. She's blonde hair, looking a lot like Goldie Hawn. No surprise since he's been with Goldie Hawn, not married for many years. Anyway. I'm going to leave it on that movie trivia note. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley Live. Keep your heads low. Admit to nothing. Arm yourselves heavily. And if anyone comes and knocking when they're not supposed to, unless it's Santa Claus, protect your family. Protect yourself. Right? That's all you can do. I'll see you guys next week on this here show on United Public Radio Network, UPR and TalkRadio.com. You know we're at 107.5 New Orleans always. 104.7 Past Christian. Broadcasting all over the world, even in Iran. And you guys need to have that revolution also. Bye.
Free standard installation valid on lease option only. Not valid with a purchase option. Limited time offer. If you want lightning fast, high-speed internet, here's great news. HughesNet, America's number one choice for high-speed satellite internet service with fast speeds, no hard data limits, and built-in Wi-Fi gives you the high internet speed you want, no matter where you live. That's right. You can now get high-speed internet service from anywhere in the United States, no matter how bad your cellular service, with HughesNet's Gen 5 satellite high-speed service with built-in Wi-Fi, so you can now connect laptops and mobile phones. Call Satellite Country at 800-681-3876 right now to get incredibly fast and reliable internet service so you can shop more, share more, and connect more than ever before. Plus, call now and get standard installation for free. That's right, free. To try HughesNet high-speed internet at your home or office, call 800-681-3876. Join millions of happy HughesNet high-speed satellite internet service customers with free installation. Call 800-681-3876. That's 800-681-3876. 800-681-3876.
Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, we'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.